Today's Earth Day, and if you happen to be thinking about your footprint, consider how you and your stuff get around. The transportation sector is the largest source of this country's greenhouse gas emissions, more than power plants, more than factories. So all this week, our series Reverse Course is looking at transportation solutions, aviation, shipping, and today, trucking. Big trucks make up about 10% of vehicles on the road, but they spew nearly a quarter of the climate pollution from our transport sector. So, switching to electric or hydrogen-powered trucks could cut emissions by a lot. But getting from here to there is, as you might say, a long haul. Here Now's Chris Bentley has our story.
In Modesto, California, a Dorito is born. Millions of chips roll out of this Frito-Lay factory every day. And while it smells pretty good in here, I'm not in town to sample the snacks, but to find out how they get from here to corner stores and grocers all over the world. This factory, one of Frito-Lay's largest, replaced its entire diesel-burning fleet with cleaner vehicles last year, from battery-powered forklifts all the way up to electric semi-trucks built by Tesla.
It's roomy in there. It's actually very spacious.
Eric Tuttero is hauling a trailer full of Doritos and Cheetos today. Tuttero has been driving trucks for a long time. He recently logged his 2 millionth mile with Frito-Lay.
It's a job, it's a career. I mean, it's not glamorous, but it's fun because you get this. This is my office. You know, my office has a bunch of windows. I have wheels, and it's a mobile office. It's kind of nice where I don't have to do the same thing or see the same four walls every day.
Another perk, for the last year and a half, he's been driving electric trucks, where the loudest thing besides the radio is the turn signal.
You don't hear the engine noise, and you know, you're not hearing the shifting and the RPMs coming up and dropping every time you go through a shift. So after driving this many years, it's kind of nice not to go home with a noise headache from road noise and or from the truck itself.
So it's just like a ginormous golf cart.
Mike Roth hears from truckers like Tuttero all the time. He's executive director of the North American Council for Freight Efficiency, a trade group started about 15 years ago to help the industry save on fuel.
People have asked me lately, what happened to you, Mike? You were a diesel trucking guy, and now you love battery electric trucks. What happened? I mean, I remember the first time I heard about it, I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, that's okay for cars, but we'll never haul freight with batteries.
These days, Roth is all in on battery electric trucks. And he says more and more fleet managers are, too, even though the upfront cost of those Tesla semis can be twice as much as a conventional diesel truck.
You know, if the truck costs twice as much but gives, you know, operational benefits in less energy cost, electricity being cheaper than diesel, you know, less maintenance and repair, you know, they'll do it.
Still, getting over that initial sticker shock is a factor, he says. That's one reason the government is subsidizing electric vehicles through the Inflation Reduction Act. California has its own incentives, too, aimed at getting the state's trucking industry to zero emissions by 2045. State grants helped the Frito-Lay plant that Tuttero works for afford its electric fleet. But Amanda DeVoe-Bice says there's another roadblock holding back electric semis.
Range is a huge factor.
She manages the fleet for Frito-Lay's parent company, PepsiCo. The Teslas in this fleet usually make trips of about 200 miles, though they can get up to 500 miles on a charge. One of Pepsi's trucks made it 1,000 miles in 24 hours, but that took some planning. It had to charge in three short stints, and DeVoe-Bice says trips like that are unusual because there just aren't that many places to charge batteries that big.
You can get diesel and you can find a conventional gas station, diesel fueling station nearly anywhere, which means you can drive your trucks nearly anywhere. With this zero emissions vehicle conversion, that entire framework, 100 years in the making, has to change.
That framework is changing slowly with the installation of more truck-sized chargers and, in some places, fueling stations for hydrogen.
Finally, it's no longer the fuel of the future. It's here now.
Ghassan Sleeman is CTO for First Element Fuel, which is building a hydrogen refueling depot at the Port of Oakland, California. He says it will let truckers refuel faster than charging a giant battery.
Hydrogen has the unique ability to solve a number of energy and pollution issues with the convenience of liquid fuels.
That fuel is kept in a towering storage tank chilled to negative 423 degrees Fahrenheit.
Quite an operation.
Yes, we have a backup chiller just in case. We have a cooler for our backup compressor, and we have an air compressor.
A few pumps are already up and running, supplying trucks equipped with fuel cells that convert hydrogen into electricity without emitting carbon. Today, there aren't many hydrogen vehicles on the road. But Matt Miyasato of First Element Fuel says that's going to change.
So in 2036, every light-duty vehicle sold and every truck sold in California has to be zero emissions. We anticipate a large portion of those are going to be battery, but also a significant portion will be fuel cells, just because the grid can't handle that type of charging infrastructure. And we think we've cracked that nut in terms of how to solve refueling for hydrogen.
Miyasato says hydrogen fuel cells might be a better solution than batteries for long-haul trucks in particular.
Certainly long-haul, because you can pack more fuel on board of a fuel cell truck. Marine vessels, locomotives, all those really high-horsepower, heavy-duty technologies seem to be really appropriate for a fuel cell duty cycle.
However it's done, cleaning up the transportation sector is a necessity for the climate, but also for people choking on the industry's exhaust. Studies have linked emissions from heavy-duty trucks to thousands of premature deaths each year. And the problem is concentrated in neighborhoods like West Oakland. Nicole Marino-Choi is with the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project.
We're surrounded by three freeways. We have our neighbor, the Port of Oakland. We have a lot of these trucks that idle. We're also a neighborhood that has historically and consistently been overlooked, under-resourced, and disregarded.
Choi wants her 6-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son to breathe cleaner air. And she says replacing diesel-burning vehicles with hydrogen or battery-powered trucks is part of the solution.
Especially if this type of technology can be brought to scale, right, and then to market, right? Because truck drivers also want to breathe clean air. They also have families.
But Choi points out that cleaner trucks still pollute the air by grinding down their brakes and tires.
Even if they're not burning diesel, we get their brake wear, their tire wear, all of these other things that really impact those of us who are, I call it the stroller zone, right? So it's that, you know, 2 feet from the ground, that 6 feet, it's that zone where people are breathing in what trucks are kicking up.
Even so, trucks running on hydrogen or batteries are better for the air in Choi's stroller zone than diesel, and much better for the climate. That's why California and the federal government are putting billions of dollars into both technologies. But should we prioritize one over the other? Tim Lipman is co-director of the Transportation Sustainability Research Center at the University of California, Berkeley. He says in the next 10 years, half of the country's truck traffic could go electric.
The way I think about it is we should use batteries for everything we can initially. They are more efficient, but batteries can't do it all. If you have, you know, extra battery weight, then that's less cargo you can carry. So what the industry wants is a one-to-one replacement for their diesel trucks. They don't want to have 3 battery trucks to replace 2 diesel trucks because they can't carry the same weight.
That's where hydrogen could come in, Lipman says. But it has its own issues. For one, there are a lot of ways to get hydrogen, and not all of them are good for the climate.
Kind of the holy grail, if you will, is zero carbon hydrogen coming from renewables.
Getting to that holy grail of green hydrogen, or a national network of high-powered battery chargers, for that matter. That's what all this government investment is supposed to be achieving. And Lipman says we're getting there as clean fuels get more competitive with oil.
So the lines are kind of crossing, you know, at this point. I would say, though, that the climate crisis is here. We're running out of time to reduce carbon. So we need to move even faster to get these technologies out there.
Back in Eric Tutterow's electric truck, it's time to drop off a trailer full of chips, just a short drive up the freeway from the Modesto plant where we started.
And I don't know if this is particularly the answer to all of our, you know, energy issues, but it's a step in the right direction. It's definitely an eye-opener to me.
Heavy-duty trucks travel more than 60,000 miles a year on average, so this journey is just a blip in Tutterow's rearview mirror. But at least it's one without a carbon footprint.